Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's BudPod 65. It's retirement age in the UK. BudPod, I think. Is that right?
I think that sounds about right. Officially speaking... this podcast shouldn't continue beyond this week. But fortunately, we are a private limited company, and so we can continue as long as we want.
Yes, yeah, we're a freelance worker. So like sometimes you get those guys who like stay working as bricklayers even though they're like 71 or whatever.
Right.
The hardiest men of all.
How you been, Pierre?
I'm all right. I'm enjoying the apocalypse. It's now become a pandemic and a kind of American Civil War race riot theme as well. How about you?
Yeah. It's just when I'd worried things were about to get boring.
or better in any way.
A new revolution has begun.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And the images from America are really startling. Like, there's footage of cars like on fire, like flames being blown out the windows, like in a movie.
Yeah, like,
and bombed out buildings. And you go, whoa, God, where is this war zone? Like the Middle East? Is this Vietnam footage? It's like, it's Washington D.C. yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, I saw a video from St. Louis today, and it was like the gunfire sounded like I remember when we were young and you watch the news and it'd be a broadcast from like Bosnia or like Baghdad or something, like background gunfire. Yeah. And stuff. It's fucking nuts. It's, yeah, nuts. And it's very like dictatorship-y as well, with Donald Trump like hiding in a bunker and like demanding that troops kill people really and is. Stuff.
Yeah, it's, oh man, it's like a near end of game mission in Red Alert, you know, when you've got the bad guy president cornered in a you know, in a barricaded White House, and he's just posting over the airwaves his final insults.
Yeah, like his final suicidal instructions to cause as much like damage and horror as possible.
It's unbelievable. I had no idea just how many state police there were, and they're like better outfitted than most countries' armies.
It's nuts, isn't it?
I mean,
they've got like MRAP vehicles and stuff, like gigantic armored police carriers and things.
It's really ridiculous. I mean,
it's fucking nuts.
People bandy the word dystopian and authoritarian around a lot, but this is one of the few times it seems appropriate. I mean, it's crazy. It's like V for Vendetta over there.
Yeah, it's all down to like really weird. Like, there's a lot of good articles if you want to read up on the militarization of the police. It's happened a little bit in other countries, but America is the main place where it's to do with, like, you know, that whole thing where like, oh, if you don't spend your whole budget, you lose it.
And we have that here with art centers. Yeah. Regional art centers, where they get a budgeted amount for comedy per season, and so you just end up getting these random quite well-paid gigs in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. And they're just like, yeah, we just had to spend this money.
Yeah.
Like that, but for cannons.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just like the sheriff of some town is just like, well, we don't need any more money, so I guess we don't want to lose it. We better buy an armored personnel carrier designed for a war in Eastern Europe.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
nuts. They all look like like you say, like graphic novel drawings of fascist troops. They look terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's such a difference, isn't it? Where like the UK has its issues, but like in the UK, you still get articles with people saying like, do we really need police with guns in the airport?
Mm.
Like even in the airport where, you know, the terror alerts and so on are at their highest, people are still reluctant to even see it. They don't even like looking at it. Whereas over there, the whole thing looks like every day is just a version of Call of Duty where you have to go to the Walmart.
Over there, yeah. Like, does every policeman need 3 tanks? Is 3 too many tanks per policeman?
It's crazy. And I think, yeah, I mean...
And also the crazy, because of America's crazy separation of powers, yeah. You have armed forces at every step of the way. You have the city police, then you have the state police, which are like closer to military grade, and then you have the national army, which are the actual army. So,
well,
you're going down the chain. You end up with basically like 3 independent heavily armed forces coming down on you at once.
It's even crazier because then you've got metro police in a city, then you've got state police, then you've got highway patrol, then you've got National Guard, then the army itself, the permanent force as opposed to the National Guard, and then you've got the Secret Service in DC, the FBI, the ATF, the DEA, Homeland Security, the border people. Like, it just seems like, yeah, this enormous competition to see who can get the most acronyms together.
The border people were the border people were a pop group in the 70s.
The border people.
They were all of sort of ambiguous ethnicity because they're all from various borders around the world. Are they Chinese? Are they Kazakh? It's hard to know. They could be either.
They were ambiguous also in terms of they were androgynous. They were very 80s, late 70s, yeah, early 80s, like David Bowie. Just sort of everyone's got very angular cheekbones and long narrow bodies. It's very hard to tell.
The border people. Yeah.
Great tunes. But yeah, it seems like America is this huge contest to see which acronym can have the most tanks and run people over with
them. That's right.
It's crackers.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, the freedom with which like police just run people over, it's incredible.
Well, those are the other videos. I mean, like the video that started it where the police just murdered a guy and looked at the camera while they murdered him. Is obviously bad enough, but then yeah, all the subsequent footage of them just driving cars through crowds and
incredible. Like in any other situation, that'd be a terrorist attack.
Yes,
someone driving a truck into pedestrians.
Yes. Yes, that is literally the kind of thing that the police in Europe are on the lookout for in like German Christmas markets and London Bridge and stuff.
I mean, if there any other time that we just saw footage of a truck plowing into people, we'd all have America flag filters on our Facebook profiles for the next 3 weeks. Now it's just like you could easily miss that video among the millions of war footage coming out of American cities.
Did you see the one with the FBI agent, the undercover FBI guy?
No.
Basically, the I think it was in Minneapolis. The police profile this black guy and cuff him. And in the video, the whole time, he's like, you dumb motherfuckers, you've got no idea who I am. Like, I'm not who you're looking for. Look, my ID's in my pocket, my ID's in my pocket. And eventually they look at his ID, and it obviously says FBI, because he's an FBI agent.
Really?
And then one of them looks at it, and he's like, you can see, he's thinking, oh, fuck. And he shows the other fat white cop, and he's like, uh-oh. And they just immediately uncuff him. And like, he doesn't even like pause to stop calling them fucking morons and racists while they uncuff him. It's brilliant. And then he makes them get the...
What did they arrest him for?
Because he looks like a suspect, because he's black and sort of tall, so that's enough.
Oh.
They profiled him.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not who you're looking for. And they're like, well, you look like who we're looking for, because, you know, they've got a call out on someone. And he like makes the supervisor come over and he's like, I want your card. It's a hell of a video because it's the it's actually, this is kind of Bud Pod vaguely, it's the least satisfying, most satisfying thing. Because,
well, I gotta tip my hat to you, Pierre, for somehow finding a way to apply a Bud Pod format to possibly the end of the United States.
Yes, to a race war.
Well, I'm gonna make a note of this video. Yes. So, well, what'd you say I should look for? FBI
undercover FBI arrest Minneapolis. Probably, I think. I think. But yeah, it's so satisfying to see these guys get their comeuppance. But it's really unsatisfying because A, it already happened. That's why you're watching the video. And B, they won't get any actual comeuppance, I don't think. It'll get blocked by their fat buzz cut boss.
Fat Buzzcut, of course, was a very influential jazz.
Yes,
jazz musician.
Yes, he was huge.
Fat Buzzcut. It's all pretty extraordinary. One upside, though, is the mayor of Minneapolis is quite handsome. I don't know if you've noticed, Pierre.
Oh, you're really?
Have you seen? Yeah, we've got a hunky mayor on our hands.
I'm always very confused. Like, American media makes it quite hard to figure out what their mayors actually do. Because all I know is that the mayor has arguments with the chief of police. And
if the American mayors just seem to be sort of spokespeople for the people in their cities.
But they seem to always be in charge of, like, they're always arguing over a budget. It's always like,
right.
It's always like the mayor is arguing with the police chief on sort of unequal terms. Like, the mayor seem really powerful. They seem kind of like weirdly powerful, but I don't know. And then sometimes you hear in America they elect their sheriffs, which seems like a fucking terrible idea. Maybe it's a good idea. I don't even know. What's a DA?
They elect their judges.
Yeah, that's the craziest thing.
Yeah, like they're judges. So that judges have an incentive to sentence people to death because the people in their state like that and they want to be voted in as the death judge.
Yeah, or even like...
as fucking Judge Dredd. It's insane.
Or even just like some county judge where like everyone, like 40% of people in the county go to the worshipful Jesus Church of abortion clinic bombings or whatever. And so... inevitably, they all just club together and vote for the youth pastor to be the new county court judge. I don't know. I would not like to live.
Maybe they like democracy a bit too much. You know? Maybe they need to scale back the old democracy there.
That's a funny thing about America is that they love freedom, but they want the freedom to die because they don't have to pay taxes for healthcare. Like, they're free to do that. They're free. Well, they're free to just let people die. That is a kind of freedom.
Yeah.
The freedom to never be taken care of at all.
It's the free market applied to citizenship.
Yeah.
Essentially, isn't it?
And then just except for, as we've said, tank police. Where there's literally no demand for tank police, but there's an enormous supply of tank police going around squishing people with tanks and just generally firing machine guns in the air like they're in a fucking cowboy musical set in space or something. It's just extraordinary.
The disparity between the quality of their military hardware and the quality of the infrastructure that the hardware is currently rolling over and crushing into the dirt is unbelievable.
And the
it's like they're different countries.
Yeah, the quality of the hardware and the quality of the infrastructure, but also the quality of the hardware and the kit and the quality of the people.
You mean the soldiers?
No, the cops. They're always these like gloopy, chinless dudes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Dressed like RoboCop, and you go like... why? It's like, I don't think you can scale an obstacle course. Why are you dressed like a guy whose job is to kill criminals who are also aliens? like some kind of futuristic death dealing man. Whereas you, clearly, like you, the biggest struggle you have is dietary.
I guess these are men who need guns to be able to dominate anyone physically.
And then now there's been like, everyone's trying to think of things that they can do, and I've looked at Twitter, and then there was a thing about posting a black square, and then people posted the black square in such a way that it obscured loads of actual updates. So then that was like fucking it up, and then someone was like, but the people who started the black square, Phil, that was just started by like Universal Studios or like a bunch of big rich companies. And then someone was like, yeah, but it was started by, I think, women of color executives within those companies. So then, and I just, I'm just going to stay perfectly still. That's my plan.
Yep.
I've donate some money.
The social media beast is very much like a big velociraptor. You just have to stay still. Let it move on its way and then try and do something with real effect.
Yeah, I've decided that what I'm going to do is stay perfectly still, read up on stuff, retweet things that seem important, and give some money to things that seem useful, and otherwise don't like get in with anything trending and just leave it. Just do your part and stay quiet.
And think for yourself and understand what you're talking about, and practice cynicism in all cases, which is not to mean like to disbelieve accounts you'd rather not believe, but to understand that everyone's sources are fallible and that you should not be lazy in finding out what's real and what's true.
Yeah, and that's
what sources are credible. I mean, I was talking to you about this earlier. Yesterday, I was trying to find a somewhere to donate, and there've been plenty of links posted on social media stuff. But it's a rabbit warren once you enter into that, and it's so hard to tell where the money goes, or what these individual charities do, or what they serve. I was looking at my computer for like 5 hours trying to figure out what a donation would go to, or who needed a donation, or eventually I settled on, I found something that I feel comfortable with, but it's hard, and I don't think we should try and pretend that it isn't hard.
It's also difficult as well, because like you say, you got to do the research, but also if you live in the UK, then it's like, well, 26 different states have a state of emergency and things. So like that's at least 26 states, if not all of the states, that have these problems. And so now that the main charity, the Minneapolis Freedom Fund or Minnesota Freedom Fund that everyone's donated to, they've got like millions of dollars. So they're saying to people, donate elsewhere. But then you sort of go, okay, so it happened in Minneapolis, but Minneapolis is kind of, okay, that's been flooded. So where else? And then, yeah, like you say, you got to spend a whole day doing it. And then you're like, well, I live in the UK. I should do something for the UK. It's, something domestic. You don't want to be like, we've talked before on this podcast about how irritating it can be to find these big, like, people who want to seem like big campaigners, but they live in England and they're often, just English or whatever from the UK, and they just go on and on about US gun control. And it's got nothing to do with them. It's as abstract as if they were just going on and on about German property rights and Ukrainian inheritance law. It's just easier for them to get excited about than face up to the issues we have here. So that's also something you got to bear in mind. It's a bit of an absolute minefield of trying to do the right thing and get it right.
And it is a minefield. And the lack of patience with people who get it wrong, or not even get it wrong, but do something slightly different to what the instigator was wanted, or the instant pile on the name calling, the dragging out into the proverbial street of heretics. It's it's not good, and if anything, it just discourages people from doing anything meaningful.
Yeah, and like a lot of weird conspiracy stuff as well, and stuff that does seem genuinely odd. Have you seen the videos of like the piles of bricks.
Yes, that the piles of bricks have been laid too conveniently near the looters, as if someone is secretly supplying them, right? That someone wants these bricks to be thrown in the windows.
Yeah, it's like a perfect little square pallet of bricks, but it's like in a central business district, like a CBD. So it's like, what's even made of bricks there? Like, there's no construction going on, according to the people in the video. Anyway, they're like saying, "Oh, that's a trap. That's bait," you know. And I mean, and then everyone is saying it's either anarchists, or neo-Nazis, or the government, or all three, or some combination thereof.
Or just very organized, you know, looters. You know, people who are actually taking the opportunity to. Well, that's because that's the real dangers. People jumping onto a legitimate protest in order to.
What's difficult is that.
Cause real destruction.
Well, what's difficult is that anarchists and neo-Nazis and the government have all at some point stated that it's a good idea for them to make protests turn into riots so that they can use violence. So, like, all three groups at various points have secretly or openly admitted that this is something that they have done or want to do.
But then you've also just got the weekend warriors, the bored, usually white kids who just want a bit of the old ultra-violence.
Man, we are seeing...
It's finally they have cover.
We are seeing such an uptick in white people cosplaying as V for Vendetta types. I mean, there should be a rule at these marches that if you turn up to a Black Lives Matter march and you're white and you're wearing welding goggles and like a little top hat...
Or if you have a skateboard. Why do you have a skateboard? are you pulling rad tricks between kettling operations? Like, are you popping sick ollies off of that personnel carrier?
It's always just like some kid called Tristan or Cornelius or something, and they've got like a purple streak in their hair, and they do quickly go up. And they go, "Oh, anarchy!" And they smash a window. And then they listen to the Sex Pistols while they skateboard to a chauffeured car that drives them away. And then the police shoot everyone else who's still there.
Oh, I saw a great little clip of a white lady who got her boyfriend to take a photo of her outside a smashed up phone shop, like with her back to camera.
God.
Like a sort of moody, heroic photo of her stood outside a smashed up, and she's just in like a gym gear.
Oh, I've seen this clip. She's in like bum pants.
Yeah.
And so people are going to be like,
extraordinary.
Be like, wow, me and my shapely ass are looking at this looted storefront, and it's very meaningful here on my wellness Instagram.
I'm very interested to find out which way she captions it. Does she go, what are we doing? Our country's falling apart? Or does she go, standing in solidarity with the protesters in my perfect little gym bard? You know, it's either way, it's a real conflict of interests.
Yeah, I would be amused to see if she was like a super, super, super right wing. Like, up to that point, it's just been a very much a sort of wellness aromatherapy style Instagram feed, and then suddenly, full alt-right.
Yes, right wing yoga is a very underserved sector, I think. What about people who like yoga but don't like where it's from?
Phil, I think you'll find that right-wing yoga is all the bending into ridiculous positions that they do.
If you want to watch some right-wing yoga, you want to pop into Parliament sometime.
I think you'll find that there's actually a bit too much of the right-wing yoga. Yes. I I would like to also see what hashtag she uses either way, because is she taking a break to be an activist? Well, not an activist, but like a social media activist, the most dangerous kind. And so yep. She'll obviously use various activist hashtags, but will she also still use like hashtag strong, not thin, hashtag eat clean, protest dirty, you know?
Yeah. Hashtag core values. I think that'd straddle both.
That's good.
Elements of the post, probably.
Yes, that's good. Core
values. Yeah.
Core values. or just really vaguely, just like Monday motivation. Just that's the only hashtag. You go, all right, I'm free to take what I want from that. All right. Yes, yeah. I did. Did you see the other one about the lady posing with a drill?
No.
There's some guy who's actually like boarding up a shop front with a chipboard, like he's covering the glass, you know. And it's this lady in like little denim shorts posing with him with a drill, like, oh, I'm helping this guy chip up his storefront. And it's a guy who
Really? Just like for a photo?
Yeah. Well, so she's posing, and then a guy who is either her boyfriend or her, I don't know, assistant or bodyguard or whatever, takes a photo, and then she just like immediately, and she's not even holding the drill in a place where it would make sense to put the drill. Like, it's in the wrong angle. It doesn't make any sense. And she just poses, and the guy takes the photo, and she's like, okay, thanks very much. They're all wearing masks and stuff. And then they just get into, like, it seems like too good to be true. Maybe it's an amazing comedy sketch and I've fallen for it, but the camera pans to the right and they both get into a really nice black Mercedes and drive away.
Oh my God.
It's incredible. It's incredible. God, I mean, it's amazing to see the opportunities where like the opportunities that white people will create to cosplay.
Also how pervasive influencer culture is.
Yeah. You know, needing to always make it about you.
Even in the apocalypse, the influencer, like the cockroach, will adapt and find a way to survive.
Post nuclear apocalypse influencer culture.
Gosh, what would a post apocalyptic influencer post about?
Eat clean, train contaminated.
Yes. Radiate. Radiate beautiful.
Mindful scavenging.
Mindful scavenging is good. That sounds real, mindful scavenging.
Yeah, that would be like the mindfulness version of those people who take just about to go off food out of bins and eat it and say it's great. Freegans.
Yes.
I guess after a nuclear apocalypse, we'd all be freegans whether we fucking liked it or not.
That's true. When there is no economy, everything's free.
You know,
Monday motivation will be harder to know about just because we won't know what day of the week it is anymore.
Yeah, it would.
So you'll have to be like Monday motivation. Is it
No, it's the motivation to find out when it will be Monday. That's quite funny. Mondays? Am I right?
Monday? Am I right? Is it Monday? Am I right about Monday? That?
Am I right? Oh, God.
That's funny.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Oh, man. But this whole thing is like... we were talking about it earlier, and it's I dread to think the effect it has on people's mental health if they're actually, you know, directly affected, and I'm not. I mean, I'm not, and it's ruining my mind. It doesn't help that we're all still trapped indoors, but fucking hell, it can't be good for people just to even see this stuff happening, never mind being wrapped up in it.
Yeah, although maybe there's more clarity if you're actually there. I think part of the maddening element for us here in the UK is that, you know, especially if you're online, there's so many sources to look at. Our only experience of it is pieced together by what we've seen on TV and online.
Yeah,
and those start to contradict and conflict. That's when the maddening happens.
Yeah, and you're so powerless.
I'm sure it feels a lot much more real in America.
You're powerless not only like in the same way that we're all powerless to in the UK to really affect what goes on in America, but you're doubly powerless because it's like, well, you also have to stay in your flat. You couldn't be less of a useful cog in anything where it's like, my job is to sit still and not sneeze on, cough on anyone. The thing that struck me as weird from my point of view, or strikes me as weird rather, is that the American police, and I mean, like, obviously the UK's police force has a problem with racism, and so does, you know, France, Netherlands, Germany, every country. But America is the most egregious example, so it's the easiest to talk about. Is that as a South African, under apartheid, it was horrific, but the state was honest and open in the sense that it was happy to admit it was being tremendously racist. Like the actual government and the police were like, "You can't do anything because you're black, and we think you shouldn't be allowed to do things because we are racist." And everyone went, "That's terrible," and they went, "Well, we disagree," and that was the argument.
Yeah, there's a clarity to that, isn't there? When you're the foundation of your country is the freedom of all and the equality of man, of all men, you created equal, whatever, suddenly it becomes a lot more cognitive dissonancy.
It's also gaslighting because you have to watch the police behave in a way that is clearly racist, and then they just go, "Well, I don't see what's racist about murdering all these black people," and you have to go, "What?" It doesn't make it like it's gaslighting because it fucks with your head because you're like, "But I just saw you do that," and they're like, "No, it was for secret reasons," or "No, you just don't appreciate the way we see things." It would be so much easier if it was just a case that they were just happy to go, "Ah, we're racist," and you go, "Right, well, let's, you know, work on that." But instead it's all these weird like propaganda kind of mindfuck arguments of, it's just the way these things turn out, they're legitimate concerns. It's all this like weird slippery little rhetoric.
Yeah, and when the operation to cover it all up is so complete.
Yeah, and like even them all wear body cameras.
It's entrenched in every level of... Yeah.
Even if you make them all wear body cameras, they're like, "Oh, we forgot to switch them on." And you're like, "Really? Even with this, we can't get a clear fucking answer from you people."
I mean, and can you imagine all the stuff that goes down that isn't filmed on phones? I mean, it's not like all these killings are new. It's just...
Jesus Christ, people
have phones to record them on now.
Yeah, and I mean, in a way, that's what makes it like... It's horrible to think about what was happening even in, like, say, the 90s in that sense, but also, like, this guy was being filmed, and he was just like, oh, I'm being filmed while I'm murdering this guy.
Yeah, he looks proper psychopathic, the policeman has been charged.
Yeah, he's just looking around like, here I am doing a murder, and he doesn't even care that he's being filmed. I mean, can you imagine the impunity with which he's done other stuff? And he's got a whole record.
And this is this is in a democratic city in a democratic state.
Fucking hell, man.
Which is the crazy thing. I mean, if you stop to think about that.
Yeah, what's it like in Georgia?
I think it's a democratic state, yeah. Yeah.
Fucking hell, man. Well, I'm interested to see whether or not Donald Trump declares war on himself. Maybe that will happen.
I mean, there's no two ways about it. Dominic Cummings has really lucked out.
Fucking hell,
can
that's
you
true.
Believe how much... I mean, during the whole Durham scandal, he must have kept saying to Boris Johnson, something will come, something will happen. Don't worry about this. Just keep defending me. I know... Look, I know 2020, okay? Something is going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was right.
Do you think that...
He was right. Suddenly a trip up the M1 is not the most egregious thing a person can do.
Do you think he was just sitting there going, look, if I know 2020 and if I know the American justice system in general, there's going to be another harrowing incident within... between 48 and 72 hours.
God. Yeah, my astrologist says we're well due for another event in America.
Yes. Yeah, well, it's like before the lockdown when there was like a school shooting every 6 days or something. It was fucking or like a mass shooting every few days. So it was just...
Isn't there, like, technically a mass shooting every day in America?
Was it every day? Oh, my insane. God. I didn't even remember it bad
enough. I'm pretty
sure,
because... and that's, like, not counting gang-related crime.
Yeah, that's mass stuff.
So you add those on top and it's more. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, Dominic Cummings going up the M1, and then also... Have you seen that it's now illegal for you to sleep over at someone's house and fuck them unless you are an escort?
Okay, so I saw the news story that said it's now illegal in the UK to have sex with someone outside of your household in their house, which it was already, wasn't it?
It wasn't illegal. Now
it wasn't actively illegal. It was a breach of the rules.
Yes.
The breach of the blanket rules, but now it is specifically illegal to be in someone's house. But it's not illegal to have sex with them specifically. It's illegal to be in someone else's house, but then all the newspapers ran with is illegal to have sex with someone else.
Yes, unless it's...
Technically that's true, but that's not the law.
It's also illegal to be in someone else's house overnight unless it's for the purposes of work.
Right. So the loophole is if they are a sex worker...
Yes.
Then you're okay.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, so,
but that's not officially recognized employment, though, is it in the UK?
It is. It's not illegal. I think it's illegal to profit off the work of sex workers or to engage the services of one or something. They've done that thing where they haven't fully criminalized the thing itself. They've criminalized all the stuff around it. I think I have to look it up.
Okay,
I have to look that up. I can't. That's my head now is just. Social justice concerns in a big muddle, and it's so hot. I can't keep it all in my mind. Oh God! And this, you can't even really go to the pub or something, or get it out of your system. The bad mood. That's the thing.
That's
with
right.
Lockdown. You're locked in the house with all the bad news. Jesus Christ! Oh man. I'm now finding it more relaxing to play Warzone and go around an abandoned Russian city killing people or getting gassed by a video game in a 3D environment. That's my break now.
You know where you stand. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know where you stand.
When it comes to Call
with,
of Duty,
Russian
I know
paramilitary,
where you are.
But
yeah. Oh my god. What were the I mentioned having a South African perspective. You're from a very multicultural country originally, Phil.
Yeah.
What was the was there?
Yeah, I'm from very multicultural, very low violence. The police, I think the police are armed, but there isn't really the sort of military, what's it called in America? The military industrial complex?
Yes, yeah.
I'm not really sure what that means specifically, but we don't have it in Malaysia.
No, I don't have any kind of idea in my head of what the Malaysian police might be like.
Mm-hmm.
Was there an ethnic component to it ever?
To the police?
Yeah, sometimes
I'm not sure, you
sometimes
know.
You find that in countries where like you get problems because one particular ethnic group is more likely to join the police than another.
That's right. I don't know. I have a feeling that a lot of police are the Malays, are Malay people, are from the Malay group.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there are some non-Malay. I mean, I've absolutely no idea, basically. I don't know much about the police specifically in Malaysia. Never really had much interaction with them at all growing up.
That's generally a pretty good sign.
Oh, my yeah, actually, I do. I know a Chinese policeman in or ex-cop in Malaysia. So, but that might be a thing about Sabah, because the state I'm from is quite heavily Chinese compared to the other Malaysian states. So it'll probably, you know, it'll probably reflect whichever state you're in.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, South African police, I would rather join the British Army and go straight to Afghanistan than have to be a South African policeman, man. Oh my god. The worst job in the world. Well, one of. Certainly not high on my list of alternative careers now that comedy can't happen.
I have a feeling like in South Africa, the severity of the stuff the police are engaged in is like every day a rookie has to leave the scene of the crime to vomit. Is that the case?
There's a lot of deaths 3 days away from retirement, yeah. My cousin was the he's a psychiatrist. I can never anyway. He's a mental health professional, and he was like the sort of in-house psych guy for the South African Police Service in the province I'm from for a bit. And he said it was like being in a war zone because they would get like they would lose a colleague like once a week, you know. But
really,
yeah. But they're also that's the trouble is that they're losing a colleague a week, so they are also. I mean, it's not so much a white on black thing in South Africa now because obviously the police are, the government's, you know, almost entirely black. The police are black, but it's still like a power thing. They're still South African police and now the South African Army doing the lockdown, unbelievably violent and like smashing people's property up, and they're corrupt as well.
What now during lockdown?
Huh?
Like during lockdown, they're smashing people up.
Yeah, because people are still like South Africa's lockdown is like enforced by the military, and it's illegal to buy booze or cigarettes.
Oh, why?
They just decided that would be part of the lockdown, and you couldn't even leave your house to walk your dog. You couldn't leave your house to walk your dog. None of this fucking jogging thing. They've only just let people leave the house to go for a jog from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. That was last week, I think. Like
bloody
super
hell.
Harsh,
really?
Full military lockdown. Yeah. Army on the streets, the whole deal. No messing around. And then the president made a speech where he was like,
why?
Okay, we're not going to...
Has there just been a lot of pent-up authority that's been building for ages since the end of apartheid?
I don't know. I mean,
they just won't go...
They deployed the army a few times because like when the gang warfare gets too big... Or when there's like particular areas get so violent that the police genuinely can't like outgun them. They just brought in the army and the army's like even more brutal. So it's very like, it's not new territory, but yeah, it's been absolutely crazy. And then you'll never guess what, Phil, some people in the government have relatives who make factories that make cigarettes and tobacco that have been selling for a lot more money in the black market. So there's some sort of corruption angle to it as well. Yeah, it sounds like a bit of a mess, really.
But what if? But surely it doesn't suit them to be forced into operating on the black market. Surely they'd want to if there's a corruption there between the alcohol and cigarette industries in South Africa, they'd allow the sale of those items to continue.
Well, the idea is that if you're the only game in town and you're charging 10 times what you would for a packet, then not only are you making 10 times as much money from your existing customer base.
Oh, I see. So the only cigarettes you can buy are South African-made ons?
Yes, or the ones that are made in this particular factory, yeah. And you'll just make more money because of
right.
corruption and da-da-da. It's all and it's probably like that's not like the reason they did the ban, but it's like powerful people subverting it. Anyway, it's a whole mess, and they've been going around like because they made drinking illegal and because the lockdown is so harsh, loads of people are breaking it, especially by accident by just living in slums, and so the army just come around and beat the fuck out of everyone and smash all their shops, and yeah, not been very good. It's all bad news everywhere, I'm afraid, listeners.
Yes. And I want to say the night is always darkest before the dawn, but it's been a really long night. And I've said this many times over the last few years, again and again. Well, you know, things can only get better. And you realize, oh no, they can actually get worse.
Yeah, when I said things could only get better, I wasn't on fire. It's only now that I'm on fire that I truly appreciate. Yeah. Well, we got to end on an optimistic note, Phil, so we can make some donation recommendations, just a couple.
Yes. After much looking about, I've donated to the NAACP, the NAACP in America, who are an organization that further the Black American cause in multiple ways, and so I felt that was a reliable repository for my donation. So I would recommend them.
Yeah, and in terms of stuff that's within the UK, the one that I've seen that's good that I've given some money to is the Runnymede Trust. So the Runnymede Trust is like a sort of, I don't know what you'd call it. It's not quite like a think tank. Or basically, they publish papers and data and writing on race in the UK. It's like intelligence on the topic of race in the UK. Let me just look up how they describe themselves rather than me fucking riffing it. Because I think people are... Runnymede is the UK's leading independent race equality think tank. There you go. And it is a registered charity, and it's independent and funded by donations. So there you go. You can give them some money, give the NAACP some money, and then maybe you'll feel less bad about sitting in your house far away.
Yes, I'm going to donate to them now, I think.
All right, sweet. Well, it hasn't been the funniest podcast, but it's been hopefully cathartic for you guys. Certainly for us, I think it has been.
Yes, and it would have felt flippant not to have spoken about what's going on.
It would have felt strange to doggedly focus on shit and piss.
It would. Not that that isn't still going on, of course.
No. We'd like.
I have a feeling we'll have more opportunities to talk about it in the future. I don't think that's going away anytime soon.
Yeah. We'd like to reassure our regular listeners that shitting and pissing is still happening all over the world. Don't worry about that. All right, stay safe out there, guys. Do some reading up on the issues. Do some research and donate some money. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.